Mark Danpaus, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. After the first commercial break this morning, we will have Phil Turney on. Phil is another member of the USS Liberty. We've had several people on from the Liberty. Commander Dave Lewis has been on the show. Gary Brummett has been on. We have been doing a series on this because we feel it's extremely important that we go back to June the 8th, 1967, to determine exactly what happened on that day. There's a lot that has been published on this in the last 40 years, most of it in the non-corporate, non-controlled news media, that I think has proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that Israel was directly involved in a deliberate, premeditated attack upon the USS Liberty for reasons that are only partially known. When we go back to June the 8th, 1967, we discover that of the 297 crew members that were on board that day, that there were 34 fatalities, 171 were wounded, and we are still dealing with the aftermath of this attack in regard to what it means, not simply for what happened 40 years ago, but for what it means now. Who and what is it that is controlling American foreign policy in the Middle East? Who and what is it that has had a disproportionate effect upon American domestic policy and culture, particularly in the last half century to 60 years? Many people would argue that the Israeli lobby has had a disproportionate influence in the American political scene for all these years and that they continue to have it. There are those, including me, who believe that they are the driving force behind the present American military involvement in Mesopotamia and behind all of this talk about an expansion of this American military conflict into Iran. When we talk to Phil today, there are some specific questions that I think will go beyond what we've already discussed with Gary Brummett and with Commander Dave Lewis, that we hope begins to paint a larger picture, not only about what happened on June the 8th, 1967, but why the United States government has been involved in a systematic cover-up of those events in all the decades since, and why the situation surrounding the USS Liberty continues to be treated as a state secret in regard to, once again, all of the facets and all of the angles and all of these circumstances that led to this tragedy. And a tragedy that has not simply been one that goes back to what happened 40 years ago this June 8th, but the tragedy that has been ongoing in the lives of those who were most directly affected by what took place then and have been carrying these tragedies and burdens with them in these last 40 years. Before we get to Phil after the first commercial break, there are a couple of things that are well worth your time in terms of looking at on the World Wide Web. This is something that has been around for a few days, but I mention it simply because there may well be a connection between this event and Israel, if Michael Collins Piper is correct in his book Final Judgment. Larry Chin, the online journal associate editor, has a piece dated April the 3rd, which is today, entitled The Last Confession of E. Howard Hunt, U.S. Government CIA Team Murdered JFK. And Larry basically goes on to say that on April 5th, the April 5th issue of Rolling Stone features the deathbed confession of CIA operative and key Bay of Pigs Watergate Nixon administration figure E. Howard Hunt. The Last Confession of E. Howard Hunt by Eric Hedegaard. This piece is significant not only for its exploration of Hunt, but for breakthrough information that appears to thoroughly corroborate the work of key JFK assassination researchers and historians. According to Hunt's confession, which was taken by his son, St. John Saint Hunt, over the course of many personal and carefully planned father-son meetings, the following individuals are among the key participants. Lyndon Johnson, LBJ, whose own career was assisted by JFK nemesis J. Edgar Hoover, gave the orders to a CIA-led hit team and helped guide the Warren Commission lone gunman cover-up. Cord Meyer, CIA agent, architect of the Operation Mockingbird disinformation apparatus and husband of Mary Meyer, who had an affair with JFK. David Atlee Phillips, CIA and Bay of Pigs veteran, recruited William Harvey of the CIA and Cuban exile militant Antonio Viciana. William Harvey, CIA and Bay of Pigs veteran, connected to mafia figures Santos Traficante and Sam Giancana. Much of this information is repristinated in Anthony Summers' book, Conspiracy. I believe that our friend Michael Collins Piper has taken it to the next level and seeing a connection to the Israeli Mossad. When we come back, we'll be joined by Phil Turney of the USS Liberty as we continue to unpack what happened on that day and what it continues to mean for you and for me. Stay tuned. This is Mark Dankos, America on RBN.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
From San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Phil Turney, who was a member of the crew of the USS Liberty 40 years ago. And as I understand it, Phil was a damage control officer who was top deck at the time of this great tragedy and witnessed some of the most horrific aspects of it. Before we introduce Phil formally and begin our conversation with him, I just wanted to mention that Dr. Hesham Tilawi, who, of course, has a show on the Republic Broadcasting Network on Saturdays, has his Current Issues television show tonight online. You can find that at www.currentissues.tv. And on that particular show this evening at 6:30 Central Time will be Captain Ward Boston, the man who investigated the USS Liberty situation. He was the counsel to the U.S. Navy Court of Inquiry's investigation into the Israeli attack on the USS Liberty, and he's going to be talking about that situation tonight with Hesham Tilawi on currentissues.tv, which you can find online. Also wanted to mention, and we'll mention it throughout the show, that Mark Glenn of Crescent and Cross has been working on this story for the American Free Press, and Mark mentioned to me yesterday that in coming weeks, the American Free Press, coming out of Washington, D.C., is going to be dogging this story. So for those of you who subscribe to AFP, and I hope that that includes most of you who listen to this show, Mark Glenn and company at American Free Press are going to be doing a series of articles on this subject because of its importance, again, not simply to what happened 40 years ago, but what all of the ramifications of this case continue to imply about who and what it is that is controlling the foreign policy of the United States as we seem to draw closer to a far wider conflict in the Middle East in the days ahead. Phil Turney, how are you, sir?
Good morning. How are you?
Very good. Listen, Phil, just to open the conversation, I wanted to get into a little bit of your specific duties that day on the USS Liberty. What was your role in the events of that day?
Well, my role, Mark, I was a third-class petty officer, and my general quarter station was repair forward, and my duties were to basically put out fires, spring water lines, do anything you could to keep the ship afloat, plug holes, whatever.
And so presumably, after this attack took place, and just to refresh things for the view, for the listeners who have been listening to several of these other shows with Gary Brummett and also with Commander Dave Lewis, the attack that day actually began with some reconnaissance, as I understand it, around 8 o'clock in the morning, and that the reconnaissance on the part of Israel was quite extensive. And I have read in the past some of what Eric Margolis and James Ennis have both said on this subject, that day there was some very extensive Israeli aerial surveillance of the USS Liberty, that the actual attack itself then came some hours later in two separate situations, the first which involved an aerial attack, and the second which involved a torpedo attack on the Liberty. Unfold for us, if you will, Phil, what your personal remembrances are of the chronology since that day, and particularly as it affected your own situation.
I'd be glad to. To begin with, that morning, I had a sound and security watch. What that means is I would go from the bowels of the ship, shaft alley, to the bridge and take readings, different readings on different pieces of machinery, take soundings of water, take soundings of oil to make sure that everything was in order. And this is done on a 24-hour basis on a four-hour watch. That morning, I saw personally the Israeli reconnaissance aircraft bearing the Star of David. So we knew who was looking at us was the Israelis. And to be quite honest with you, it was a very refreshing and happy moment for us to know that our good friends, the Israelis, were there protecting us, because we were in a war zone and we knew it. And so it brought a great ease aboard the ship that the Israelis knew we were there. These flights continued from approximately 0600 till 12 o'clock in the afternoon. At that point, about an hour before 2 o'clock, an hour and 40 minutes, we had a general quarters drill. I might say that the captain was very hip on us having drills all the time. We did them constantly. But that one, particular one, was a chemical drill. I'll never forget it because I was in an impregnated suit to keep any chemicals from getting on my skin and body. But it was so hot, I couldn't wait to get out of that thing. And finally, the drill was over, and I went up to the forward starboard gun mount. I had a complaint that the sound-powered phone was not working, so they had no communication with any part of the ship. I walked to the IC room, which is on the main deck, stepped in the door, and yelled into a man named Geronimo, and he sent a fireman up there, David Skolak, to see what he could do to repair the sound-powered phones. I went back to the starboard gun mount, told them there, you know, somebody would be up there to fix it. And then I returned to my duty station, which was on the starboard side, main deck, in the ship fitter shop. Just as soon as I entered the hatchway on the starboard side, this was right next to a motor whaleboat that we test every day to make sure that it runs. And all of a sudden, there was a huge explosion. And a few minutes before that, they said, stand by to test motor well boat, which they do every day to prepare anybody on deck to stay away from the propeller or whatever. The explosion happened, and I thought the boat blew up. I was getting ready to go out the starboard hatch out of the shipfitter shop to see what had happened, and a petty officer grabbed me by the nape of the neck and says, "Hey, man, we're under attack." And he immediately closed that hatch door, and I made my way down through the bowels of the ship, through the mess decks, to the forward repair party, all the way forward. This was in the forecastle. We put on our gear, our firefighting gear, and began to move firefighting teams, personnel. He was hit. He said he was going to the mess decks to receive medical care, and he told me to take charge of repair forward, which I did. At that time, I went down to Damage Control Central, which was in the log room where John Scott was in charge, told him what the situation was, and he gave me orders. He said, "Go to the main deck and see what you can do of retrieving survivors." I and another person, Rick Ametti, went to the main deck and pulled as many people off the main deck as we could that were still alive. The bridge at that time was on fire, napalm that they had dropped on us. And I may be speeding through this a little bit too fast, but...
No, that's fine. Just take your time, Phil. This is very interesting and very easy to follow. Go ahead, sir.
Okay, great. I wanted to make sure that I'm not losing the fact that this attack lasted approximately 2 hours. I do want to mention that on the first run, and I'm sure Dave Lewis mentioned this in his remarks when he talked to you and possibly Gary too, that they knocked out all of our antennas on the first sortie, and they also knocked out our .450 caliber machine guns. We had two forward on the forecastle, on the port starboard side. They were both knocked out. Then we had two aft, port and starboard. They were knocked out also on the first strike. The aircraft also exploded gasoline canisters, which were stored on the main deck, which was causing some havoc with the large fire. The Israelis claimed that they used approximately three aircraft, and scientific evidence proves beyond a shadow of a doubt with the ordnance used on that ship, there were anywhere from 8 to 12 jet aircraft that attacked us. There were over 800 cannon and rocket holes in the ship. There were over 5,000 armor-piercing bullets in the ship, and several napalm canisters were dropped on our ship to burn us up. There could have been two or three or more. I have no idea, but I know there was at least two canisters of napalm dropped on us bridge. Must also keep in mind that we were in international waters. At all times, we were in international waters off the Egyptian coast. Never did we stray into foreign waters.
We'll be back to continue this narrative and conversation with Phil Turney of the USS Liberty, giving us his account of what happened to his crew members and to him on June the 8th, 1967. Mark Dankoff's America comes to you live from San Antonio, Texas on RBN. Stay tuned.
Mm-hmm. How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Mark Dankoff, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Phil Turney of the USS Liberty. Adding to what Gary Brummett and Commander Dave Lewis have covered for us in recent show segments, discussing this attack from June the 8th, 1967, which by all responsible accounts was a deliberate attack on the part of Israel against the USS Liberty during the Six-Day War. If you're looking for corroboration of those charges, Eric Margolis's piece of May 2001 for the Toronto Sun, which has been reproduced by LouRockwell.com, is available online. Check for that one. It's entitled The USS Liberty, America's Most Shameful Secret. Also, James Ennis, who was aboard the USS Liberty that day, has done a piece for the Washington Report on Middle East Affairs that goes back to June of 1993, and that one is entitled The Assault on the USS Liberty, Still Covered Up After 26 Years. That piece from June 1993 is very suggestive because here we are now 14 years later, a total of 40 years later since the events of June the 8th, 1967, and we are still hunting for the complete truth of what happened that day. And also, before we get back into our conversation with Phil, I wanted to mention again the Tonight Hesham Talawi show at currentissues.tv online. That's his online television show. We'll have Captain Ward Boston, the man who investigated the USS Liberty incident. And also Mark Glenn is working on a very significant article on this subject for the American Free Press. Keep an eye on that for the Mark Glenn story of this whole situation when AFP runs that in coming weeks. Phil, back to our conversation. Take it away again with where we left off before the break.
Okay, absolutely. I also wanted to add that at no time during the air attack did we have a clue who was attacking us. We assumed it was some Arab state that was doing this damage to our ship. We also know for certain that our ship did get a message out from one of Commander Lewis's radioman, Terry Harold Bardier, by the way, and he is a very good friend of mine. He strung that wire, and they got an emergency message off to the fleet. And one of the ships that picked that up was the USS Saratoga. Then it was passed on USS America, and then, as far as I know, onto our government. But to get back to the attack, the aerial attack was very well coordinated, and we know this because of what they hit and how they hit it. So our belief is that all the morning sorties of the Israeli recon, photo recons, aircraft, their purpose was to take pictures of the ship, give the pilots orders of what to hit and when to hit it. The and they did a very good job, believe me. They didn't miss a trick. They didn't miss anything. It was, to be quite honest with you, it was hell on earth just from the air attack. The wounded started streaming in so fast to the mess decks. The sick bay was overwhelmed. Makeshift beds were put on meal tables to accommodate all the wounded. Out of a ship of 294 men, over 70% of the crew was either killed or wounded. And I'm not talking about just superficial wounds. Some of these fellows had wounds that would I just can't describe them over the phone how horrific they were, and still stay with these guys to this day, the ones that are alive. The ship's captain and the crew that helped him, the corpsman, deserve great credit for what they did trying to save lives. But anyway, the air attack continued for quite some time. They left, and we thought that perhaps the attack was over. Little did we know that three torpedo boats were close by, ready to take on the second part of the attack. There were three torpedo boats that began firing torpedoes at us. Some people say six, some people say five. But we do know that one of them did hit us midships on the starboard side in the research compartment. This is Commander Lewis's workstation. And
we'll be back with Phil Turney. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned for Phil's account. You can also call us today at 1-800-313-9443. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, a few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartavite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822. 8822.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Phil Turney, yet another crew member of the USS Liberty, giving us his account of what happened on June the 8th, 1967. I wanted to mention in the context of this conversation with Phil that it is well worth the time of the listeners to this show, to tune in tonight to Hesham Talawi's currentissues.tv. That's the website, www.currentissues.tv, to listen to Dr. Hesham Talawi's television show dealing with the testimony of Ward Boston, Captain Ward Boston, the counsel to the U.S. Navy Court of Inquiry's investigation into this Israeli attack on the USS Liberty. That's going to be tonight at 6:30 Central Standard Time. Also wanted to alert you to the fact that Mark Glenn of Crescent and Cross, who will be on this show with me on Friday from 8 to 10 Central Standard Time. Mark is going to be a regular on my show on Fridays, helping me to summarize the week's events and to discuss some of the points that our guests have made throughout the week on Mark Dankoff's America. Mark's also working on a piece for the American Free Press, a major story on the USS Liberty. If you are an AFP subscriber, be watching for that story. And if you're not an AFP subscriber, I urge you to subscribe, and I say that with no financial largesse involved for me personally, but I am a subscriber to the American Free Press. Great publication. It keeps me abreast of a lot of things, and among those is going to be Mark Glenn's piece on this USS Liberty tragedy for the American Free Press. Also wanted to mention once again that you can find James Ennis's piece on this story for the Washington Report on Middle East affairs. James Ennis, of course, was a part of the USS Liberty crew that day. His piece is The Assault on the USS Liberty Still Covered Up After 26 Years. That is a June 1993 post. And then among many of the other fine things that are online that discuss this horrific tragedy with all of the political implications involved is Eric Margolis's post for the Toronto Sun, later posted with LouRockwell.com, entitled The USS Liberty, America's Most Shameful Secret. Eric Margolis penned that story in May of 2001. Phil, let's resume with where we were before the break. Go ahead, sir.
Okay. As the torpedo boats were approaching, I was on my way to the bridge to fight a fire. As I arrived on the bridge, there was blood everywhere. The captain had already been injured, four or five others at their duty stations. Walking wounded were injured. I was trying to put out the fire. It was a napalm fire, and it was extremely hard to put out. And what I do know for a fact is that Joe Meadows, which was a signalman at the time, our original flag had been shot down. And he raised the holiday colors, which is 7 by 13 feet. 7 by 13 feet. Now, this flag was flowing in a good breeze, 12-knot wind coming across the deck. I mean, there's no way in the world you could miss the flag. And our flag was flying always. It was always flying during the reconnaissance of the Israelis and so forth. But our flag was there for sure, and it was never, ever, ever taken down, except when it was shot down at that one brief moment. I ran out of CO2. I went back below decks. I came back up, and I slipped and fell right on my back in blood. I got back up to my feet, and I turned to my right, and at the con, and a friend of mine that was at the con steering the ship, Francis Brown, lay dead with a large piece of metal sticking out of the back of his neck. It was either shrapnel or, a 50 caliber machine gun bullet that had killed him. By this time, we knew that the Israelis were attacking us because they had flags on their boats, which took my breath away. I couldn't imagine the Israelis doing this to us. And this was getting pretty well into the attack. We knew help was on the way. It had to be, because our government certainly wouldn't leave us out there and let the Israelis or anybody else attack an American ship on the high seas that was under direct command of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. We were told to be there, we were ordered to be there, and we were there doing our duty. I left the bridge, went back to Damage Control Central. At that point, Ensign Scott was burning all pertinent materials, just in case they tried to overtake the ship. They couldn't get any classified materials from his spaces. I went back up above deck on the main deck forward to ensure no more wounded were still there. There was not. All that was there was dead or body parts. I went back to DC Central. As we had no communications, I had been ordered by Mr. Scott to go to the repairs or to the to go to the CT spaces. Our torpedo had hit us on the starboard side, just right at the waterline. It just missed the engine room. If it had hit the engine room, we wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here talking to you today. I might add that the sailors in the communications department, they were below the waterline, and these guys stayed at their station knowing that we were getting torpedoes shot at us, and they never left. And you can imagine the courage it took for those sailors to do that. I might also add that Gary Burmett's crew in the boiler room, which was at the very bowels of the ship, stayed at their station and did not move either. These guys here, as far as I'm concerned, are my heroes. Without them staying at their duty station, we could have never got the ship back online. We could have never got firefighting, water, so forth and so on. I made my way to the communications technician's door, which was a sealed door with a keypad on it. And they would not let me inside the door. I was pounding on the door with an axe, telling them to let me in. They said, "You don't have the clearance." And here I am, a damage controlman, and I said, in a few choice words, "I will go anywhere I want to on this ship. I'm in damage control, and if I have to, I'll beat the door down." At that point, they did open the door, turned directly to my right, and there was a hatch there that was closed. It has a scuttle hatch, and then on the scuttle hatch, there's a great big hatch that lifts up. I opened the scuttle hatch, and Bryce Lockwood came up. He was one of the Marines aboard the ship, and I believe he was the only Marine that did survive. He got out of the hatch, and we did leave it open looking for other survivors that would possibly float by or whatever. The water had stopped coming in. And so I had left that space, and the torpedo boats were still strafing us with their rockets and cannons and machine gun bullets. They were shooting us like we were target practice. They were butchering United States sailors on the open seas, shooting our firefighters, our stretcher bearers. Anything that would move, they would shoot at it. And they continued and continued and continued till they finally ran out of ammunition. This is the only thing that we can surmise, because they shot all their torpedoes up at us, and they just quit firing. And the only reason that we could come up with is they ran out of ammo. The torpedo boats circled for some time, and then they left. This whole sequence lasted approximately 2 hours. And if I could just give you just a small little something to think about. Just say, for instance, you were in a 15 by 15 room, and I had just a single-shot rifle. And for 2 hours, I loaded and unloaded just a single-shot rifle into a room and fired at you for 2 hours. What do you think your chances would be of coming out of it alive?
Not very good.
Not very good. Yeah, that's the way we felt. Our ship was so badly damaged, it's a wonder that more crewmen weren't murdered than they had already murdered. We began to secure the ship to make sure that all the fires were out. We started putting blocks of wood in holes to keep the water from coming in. As I said, the water quit rising. the ship rolled, and may I say, when the torpedo hit us, it picked the whole ship up. That's how powerful that blast was. It came back down and it shook like a you were standing on top of an accordion, and it would just come on down, and it rolled to the starboard side, kept on rolling, and then it stopped, and then it came back and settled at a good list. At this time, I went to the mess decks. There were bodies everywhere. There wasn't a place that you could walk that a person wasn't laying. And the corpsman and the doctor were working on these souls, trying to patch them up. At about 4 o'clock or so, 3:30, 4 o'clock in that area, I went back up. This was just after the attack, and there was an aircraft carrier or aircraft coming from the shoreline, and it was a helicopter that had dropped a note onto the ship, and Rick Ametti had picked it up. It was in a bag with an orange in it, and the card read, "Have you casualties?" And the captain gave some choice words to the helicopter. They asked if we needed any help, and he said, "Absolutely not." I don't want to tell you exactly what he said, but you can probably get an idea.
Yes.
So the helicopter did leave. The boilerman and the machinist mates did get the ship back online, and we started moving out of the area. At no time during the attack or after the attack did we get a word, not a single word, from our government, as in an aircraft to help us, anything. In fact, our government did not even send one airplane to see what happened to us. It would seem only natural that they would give us some kind of support just to see if we were still there or not. But we never, ever, ever got any help. And we know for sure by testimony from Captain Engen of the USS America and Captain Tully of the USS Saratoga, they did launch. They launched more than one time for help to come help us, and they were both recalled by McNamara and the President of the United States, Lyndon Baines Johnson. They told the aircraft carriers they did not care if we sank and all hands died, recall all aircraft. And that's exactly what they did. That evening, Doc Kiefer began to operate on several people. I was there in the room with him in sick bay, holding a battle lantern. Our lighting was terrible. We had very little. He was operating on a sailor that had a 50 caliber go through his back. He was in the forward gun mount. And the wound damaged his kidneys. So the doctor was trying to help him out to save his life. And I'll never forget, he asked me to please take off his socks. His feet were burning enough. I took off his socks for him. And a few minutes later, he died. Doc Kiefer sewed him back up, and then he would heave another one up there and patch them up. But this went on throughout the night. We wondered, help never did come, and we said, well, they're going to sink us tonight. They're going to come back and get us tonight, because there still was no indication that we knew of, that the United States knew that we knew that we were under attack or had been under attack. We didn't know, and we thought if the United States government knew, certainly they would be there to help us in some form or capacity. We waited and waited and waited, never got any help. It was a long, long night. And the next morning, finally daybreak did come. And approximately 18 hours after the attack, USS Davis, USS Massey, and USS America did arrive. At that point, they started getting people off the main deck and taking them onto their ship and so on and so forth. But I want to tell you what happened before that. But before anybody ever got there, the captain ordered the ship to be cleaned. He wanted all the body parts off the deck. He wanted all the blood off the main deck. So myself and another fella, Rick Ametti again, were using fire hoses with suicide nozzles on them, washing body parts off the side of the ship.
Phil, hold that thought right there, and let's take it up when we come right back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back for further conversation with Phil Turney about the events surrounding the USS Liberty and Israel's attack on that vessel on June the 8th, 1967. Stay tuned.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves and More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Phil Turney of the USS Liberty for information on what happened on June the 8th, 1967. I would urge you to take a look at the USS Liberty Survivor website, which is ussliberty.org. I think he'll alternate between shedding tears and having a real sense of unrestrained anger when you begin to get into the story of what happened 40 years ago and what happened to these men of our USS Liberty and what Israel's role was in this whole situation, as well as the after-the-fact cover-up on the part of the United States government in regard to the actions of Lyndon Baines Johnson and Robert McNamara and undoubtedly a series of other people who, for reasons still being sought, did not want the truth of the events of that day to come up or to come up before the American people. We're still trying to unravel this whole thing 40 years later, which is why, in addition to the shows that I've been doing on this subject, I would urge you to tune in to Hesh Antalawi's show tonight on currentissues.tv, where he'll be talking to Captain Ward Boston Sr., the counsel to the U.S. Navy Court of Inquiry's investigation into the Israeli attack on the USS Liberty. Also, Mark Glenn of the American Free Press and also Crescent and Cross is writing a major story on this USS Liberty tragedy for the American Free Press. Be watching for that in the days that are ahead. I wanted to warn Phil Turney and also the listeners that this is a point in the show when we have a series of frequent commercial breaks that continue up until about 7 minutes after the hour, and then there will be a period for longer sustained conversation again. I wanted to take this opportunity to invite our listeners to continue supporting the Republic Broadcasting Network. You, of course, can find our website at www.republicbroadcasting.org. You can also send your assistance and support to the station by calling us at 1-800-724-2719. That's republicbroadcasting.org, as well as the phone number for the office at 1-800-724-2719. You can also order Aaron Russo's new DVD, America, Freedom to Fascism, for $19.95 plus $4.95 shipping and handling by using those same contact points, www.republicbroadcasting.org on the World Wide Web, or giving us a call at 1-800-724-2719. And throughout the next 2 hours on the show, if you have questions or comments for Phil Turney, you can give us a call at 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. And also to reiterate what we've been emphasizing throughout the first hour of the show, there are a number of places online that have information on the events of June the 8th, 1967, that are well worth your time. I've mentioned James Ennis's piece. That's at the Washington Report for Middle East Affairs. That piece was written in June of 1993. And that's, 14 years ago. And the piece at that time is entitled The Assault on the USS Liberty Still Covered Up After 26 Years. That's James Ennis's writing for Mia. Eric Margolis's piece, The Toronto Sun and Luke Rockwell, is one time, May 2001, entitled The USS Liberty, America's Most Shameful Secret. We'll be back with Phil Turney. And thank you, live from San Diego. Again, stay tuned.